Tinder profiler, Faithful. It's Maddie Keewoom. Welcome to the latest episode of The Game Plan. Today, we are diving into the nitty-gritty. We're getting into the thick of it. We're talking dynasty theory. I'm having my man Memphis Young on today. Last year, we did the exact same type of show, getting into the big theories, the big pictures, and it was a blast. So we have to continue the conversation. This is an evergreen conversation that we can do together until we're done with this game. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. So you already know who my guest is, but planners, he definitely deserves a big introduction. He is one of the coolest guys that I have yet to meet, but I will in Detroit, but he's an awesome friend already. He is the host of the Dynasty Warzone, Player Profiler Zone, Memphis Young. What's up, my friend?
Man, it is good to be here, and for the loyal number of people already watching this stream, if the pre-show is any indication of what the actual show is going to be, you've tuned into the right show. Man, I'm excited to be back, and man, we don't do this often enough, to be quite honest. You came on and helped us out during like the spring last year. Maybe it was the fall. But we got to get you back on because, yep, man, like you and Cody, and you guys have been killing the rookie stuff. Like, we just wrapped up free agency with Dynasty. We're jumping into rookies, but I am fired up to be here.
And this conversation is always so much fun. Last year, we'll get into last year, but it's a great conversation. And I was looking forward to it. I mean, I still obviously am, but because it's just a change of pace. Been super into the college game, the quarter, the rookies, the combine, the pro days, the 30 visits now, like the mocks. All that has been, you know, a lot of just like, like they say, what is that, Wolf of Wall Street, that those numbers, the kind of rapid talk. But now it's nice to get a chance, take a deep breath, scale it out, and talk some dynasty theories with my man Memphis. And you may be looking up at the clock. You kind of teased it, but I love breaking the fourth wall, Memphis. We're a little late.
You are the Deadpool of Dynasty Fantasy Football content.
Clip that. That is exactly what I'll be going for. I am the Wade Wilson. I am the Deadpool of Dynasty Football. Clip it. Love it. But yes, we were chatting up just about life. We're very, you know, it's awesome to be able to catch up. You know, just talk about things that aren't football related. So I love talking up with you, and we will finally be under the same roof, killing it for the draft content at the Player Profiler Draft House in what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
Four and a half weeks. We'll say 4.5 weeks. It would have been 5 weeks this past Thursday. So we're like about a month away, 30 days. We'll say that 30 days away from hanging out.
That's good. 30 days from hanging out, 30 days. But we don't have to wait 30 days to talk dynasty theory. We can get into it right here, right now, my friend. So the first question I'm going to ask you, you know, we talked about this last year. It's been probably close to a calendar year. So what is something that you've personally learned about dynasty theory over the last calendar year?
Well, I try to relate everything to business, consumerism, just like if I were paying for this. You know, that's what I'm looking at it. And like, I've really come across this way with the running back position. So a dynasty theory that I'm subscribing to is that running backs at this point are simply lease cars. So if you and your family needed a new car, a new vehicle, whatever, you would go down to the local dealership. Maybe you'd buy, but maybe leasing is a better term. Maybe you'd buy a wide receiver. But I'm fine leasing a running back for 4 years. You draft him as a rookie and you use him for 4 years, much like a lease car. If you feel like buying it at the end of your lease, I believe you have that option. Same with your with your rookie running backs. And there's the occasional ones you will. But I think that long-term dynasty success, especially in Superflex, is built so much around having elite quarterbacks and elite wide receivers that I'm always going to be fine churning that running back position. And I've gotten away from trading the big name wide receivers, especially the ones that, I mean, obviously they get older. Tyreek Hill's a guy I'm selling right now, but like Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, unless you're just blown away, there should never really be one of those guys. Those are the guys you buy. Those are the guys you hold. But I'm happy to cycle through these running backs every 2-3 years, looking for the next Rashad White or Kyren Williams. What do you think about that?
I think that firstly, or most importantly, I think the NFL looks at it that way. So if the franchises that are billion-dollar companies and make billion-dollar decisions are going to think about a particular position exactly this way, then we should as Dynasty Gamers. It only makes sense, right? Because when I started playing fantasy football, it was so that I could pretend like I was a team builder. I wanted my dream job. If you play fantasy and your dream job is not to be the head of your favorite football team, making the big decisions, drafting the rookies, all that stuff. Like, what are we doing here? That is exactly why I do this. So I always look to the people who get paid millions of dollars to play kind of the same game we are. And it looks like they're looking at these running backs like short contracts, nothing. We're not going to get over our skis here. We're going to lease, and then we'll think about buying. But I got to ask this follow-up question. The analogy is great, but how would we – and this, I'm putting you on the spot here. You know when you lease a car, right? You got to keep it under a certain mileage. Once you go over those miles, the bucks go up, the payments, you know, it comes back to you. What's that going to be like for the running backs? Is there a certain mileage? You know, we're looking for what is it? Injury? What?
No, I mean, I'm just looking at 4 years, and I'll go back to Kyren Williams or Rashad White. Now, in this case, I don't have to pay for all the mileage. As a matter of fact, I'm actually hoping they get the mileage. I'm hoping to drive this thing like less like a lease car and more like a fleet car. Like I'm an on the road salesman. I want them to get that kind of mileage because I don't plan on. I'm going to try to find the next one. And we're going to talk about this later, some predictive thinking, second order thinking about how we can apply that as well. But yeah, I'm fine with it because at the end of the day, someone will always believe. And I am happy to let someone else believe. But like if I'm doing a startup right now, and I'll be doing, you know, startups throughout the off season. But if I'm doing a startup, I promise you, I am not in a super flex tight end premium. I am not even considering running back until the sixth round. Okay. Because if I get Josh Jacob in the sixth round and like Joe Mixon in the ninth, I'm fine with that. I can use him for a year or two and then I'll figure it out. But I'm going to walk away from that startup with two QBs, two awesome wide receivers, and possibly a tight end that I like. I could care less about the running back position because there's going to be Ramondre Stevenson's, and then there's going to be like Zamir White's going to be potentially popping off this year.
Right.
The running back position could not be a more, I don't say overvalued because Theo would be mad because I know Theo loves Jahmyr Gibbs and I love Jahmyr Gibbs too, but I couldn't see myself drafting him. I couldn't see myself drafting him in a startup right now, at least not where he's going at ADP.
At price, right, at cost. So if we look at your sleeper chart, your sleeper board, there's going to be a lot of greens at the bottom. Right, you got your blues, your reds, maybe an orange sprinkled in at the top, and then a lot of yellows. That's where you're gonna pile it on. But I want to ask just about the rookie, how we factor in the rookies part of running backs to this type of philosophy. Are you more likely to kind of? I don't want to say reach. Reach isn't the right term because we're talking about staying in. We're talking about taking value on and not necessarily overextending yourself. But are you more likely to take any running back at the end as opposed to reaching? So I guess like for player. So instead of reaching on, let's say Jonathan Brooks, are you just let me get Cody Schrader? Let me get Dylan Johnson, let me get all these guys in third and fourth round. So does that logic still apply for rookies or are you more more willing to overextend and grab someone early?
Once I get to the second round of my rookie drafts, I am looking to take the running back position. The hit rate, like all the wide receivers in the first round tend to hit at a higher level. And I've always been of the philosophy, draft running backs and trade for wide receivers. I'm looking to hit that James Robinson. That again, yes. Kyren Williams. As much as I love Kyren Williams, I've brought his name up two times. If I could trade Kyren Williams for a solid wide receiver, you know, in like some kind of a trade where I don't know that you would get Chris Olave one for one, but like if you could, you know, start a conversation with a running back needy team, I'm moving him. Because I have a good feeling of where Chris Olave is going to be in 2 years, and I have a good feeling of where Kyren Williams is going to be 2 years. One's going to be on a second contract, probably making $23 million a year, and the other one's probably going to be on a different team. So if you drafted Kyren Williams, you had an awesome season out of him in 2023. His value may never be higher.
That's right.
And now's the time to move on.
I love doing that too. Converting my running back assets into wide receiver, tight end assets this time of year. I'm going to jumble up the show sheet a little bit because I think it just the first question rolls very well into the last question. So it was supposed to be the last question. It's going to be the second question. What's your general rule of thumb? What is your theory here when it comes to dealing with vet running backs during this time of the year? So are you always looking to sell? You brought up Mixon. So are you looking to kind of buy cheap, sell high? What's your general rule of thumb for dealing with veteran running backs during the NFL offseason?
Like right now it's a great time because everybody is now shifting back to rookies. But I think the big thing is, and this is Dynasty 101, this is the game plan. It's what we're going to name this 101 after the show. It is the game plan. The number one thing you must do as a dynasty GM, without question, is you need to have an honest assessment of where your team is and where it's going. There's no point if you just entered a rebuild or started a rebuild. There's no need for you to be out trading for Joe Mixon or Josh Jacobs. But if you're maybe going into the last year of your contender's window, your team's getting a little older. You can see it. I think if you play in multiple leagues, we all have a roster that looks just like this. That's where you need to be going out and giving up that 25 second or third for a Joe Mixon. Or, you know, what does it take to get to Josh Jacobs? Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at 1 year. And if your team's good, you're already a contender, and you're adding players that should, barring injury, put points in your roster, stands to reason you should be contending again next year. And if you can't contend again next year, are you hopefully giving away the 212, but are you giving away the 209, the 210, the 211, 212 for Joe Mixon or Derrick Henry or whomever? But you took one last shot at the championship, because if you win a championship and your league's for money, and I hope it's for at least $5, but if your league's for if your league's for money and you win the league in 2024, you've now bankrolled this league for the next 3 or 4 years. So that's how I look at running backs. But then I've also believed in having honest conversations with my league mates. I've never tried to manipulate them or work them, because in a seasonal league, you may get away with that, but you're never going to get away with that long term. The famous gambler Amarillo Slim once famously said, you can shear a sheep many times, but you're only going to skin him once. And that's kind of how Dynasty works. And so I have honest conversations. Hey, I'm not contending. I just started a rebuild. I notice you're contending. Would you be interested in Joe Mixon? Would you be interested in Derrick Henry? Would you be interested? I'm really looking for young guys. I'm really looking for picks. And having an honest dialogue with those other owners, I think that's how I approach the running back position with veterans. I don't know what you think about that.
For me, I'm kind of along the same ways. You got to evaluate the team, but even the teams I'm on the cusp, where I'm not exactly sure if I'll be competing, maybe I'm going to be battling for one of the last playoff spots, I'll still buy into some of the vets, because the opportunity cost, it's a lot less now. And then those guys, whether I'm contending or not, if Joe Mixon is Joe Mixon and he's healthy by week 5 and I don't like this squad, maybe I have a big injury, I'm selling at a profit, because when the chaos is ensuing, when the bullets are flying, when we're in the midst of the season, it's always running back prices that get inflated because you need them to win. You've put in the pillars that we talked about, and I build my teams exact same way that you mentioned. I want my quarterbacks in super flex. I want my receivers. I still believe in attacking tight end. I want that positional advantage if I can get it, right? So I'm always looking to churn and burn running backs year to year, and that typically consists of me buying vets at this time of the year.
And you brought something up that's very important. If I have a team that's kind of in the middle, I'm also not buying right now. But if we get into week 4 or 5 and I realize I found this year's Puka Nacua, right, or Rashad White, and all of a sudden I've got this workhorse just producing points on points on points, and I'm winning games, week 5, I will go to the Derrick Henry GM or the Joe Mixon GM or the Austin Eckler GM, if those guys are balling out new roles, and say, hey, what would you like? What's your asking price? And if it's not ridiculous, I'm not going to be afraid to pay it.
That's right.
And I understand that, you know, going back to the term lease, I understand that if I go get Joe Mixon in week six of this upcoming season, I understand that I may only be leasing him for 11 games. And I'm okay with that. If those 11 games, again, get me the championship, get me the hardware, get me the cash, I'm in. I'm in. Then I can start a new process.
Start new. And can you, one last time, can you tell me who the gambler was that had the quote? Because I think I need that quote.
It was Amarillo. So by the way, this is life advice. So normally the Podfather does, you know, the lifestyle hacks, the Mind of Mansion hacks. So you probably look at me and say, is this really the guy we want a book review from? But I'm going to give you a book review, a little life advice. It's Amarillo Slim, Preston Elwim. His first name is Preston, but he went by Amarillo Slim, obviously from Amarillo, Texas. Amarillo Slim, and his biography is called Amarillo Slim in a World Full of Fat People, and it is an amazing book. So many things can be translated over, but the quote, for those of you that don't want to read the book, get the audio book. You're listening to a podcast. Maybe that's more your medium. But it's Amarillo Slim and a World Full of Fat People. And the quote was, you can shear a sheep many times, but you can only skin him once. Which means once you skin a league mate, you're never, ever going to be able to do it again. Because you've killed it off. Yes. That's what right. Skinning means. But you can shear him and you can take the wool of that sheep and sell it year over year because you have, I guess in the case of Dynasty, you have that good working relationship with that other owner. So that, much like a sheep would be for a farmer, that relationship with a fellow GM in your league could be very fruitful season over season if you treat them well.
Right. And we all know, right, Memphis, we all have these home leagues that we've been in for almost 10 years, over 10 years, whatever. And every one of these leagues has the person who was skinning the sheep early on. And you would tell yourself, how are they making these trades? How are they getting these deals done? How are they acquiring these players year in and year out? But then a few years go by, and all of a sudden, they can't make any trade. They bring you an offer, you immediately want to decline it because they've already skinned all their sheep in the league. Love the quote. That's why we're talking Dynasty Theory here. And you're going to want to stick around because we got more coming up, Dynasty Theory, for the rest of the episode with my man Memphis Young. But first, let's hear from one of our sponsors.
Now, I know many of you are looking for a secret weapon for your Dynasty League, and I have it. It's called the Dynasty Dominator app. You go to the App Store, go to Google Play. It's right there. It's $5 to download, and then every year it's $5 to load the next incoming class of rookies. You can add Superflex, add tight end premium. It's incredible because it allows you to look up players. It allows you to vote on whether a player is a buy, hold, or sell, and then see the market sentiment on that player. And you can compare their lifetime value rating from Player Profiler to their Dynasty ADP at the FFPC, all in the price lookup tool. And beyond that, we have a trade analyzer, so you'll never lose another Dynasty trade again. And in our settings, you can set, this is a win now team, this is a rebuilding team, and then we let you compare players. Look at their metrics side by side. Prospect metrics, NFL metrics. It's all there. It's $5 in the App Store. There's some add-ons for Superflex and to buy the upcoming rookie class. Every year, you're going to spend $5 on this thing, and it's going to be well worth it.
It's $5, Batty.
That's $5, baby.
$5. You can't even get a good cup of coffee. You can't even get a good cup of coffee for $5 nowadays.
Memphis, I went to go get milk this morning, a gallon of milk for the fam. I spent $5.89. You can't even get a gallon of milk for $5.
But you can get an app that helps you potentially win a dynasty league that you're paying 50 or 60 or 100 or maybe even more money. So look at the cost-benefit analysis. Can your kids go without milk for 1 week so you could have the Dynasty Dominator for a year? These are the decisions.
Then I could buy a shitload of milk when I take down some of my Dynasty leagues.
They'll be drinking up like the most exotic of milks next January, February.
I might get them a cow. We'll have unlimited milk in the backyard.
levels to this.
There's always levels to shit, and we're talking Dynasty Theory here on The Game Plan. Memphis Young from the Dynasty Warzone. Shout out to our guy Rob, the Hairy Snowman. Amarillo Slim, In a World Full of Fat People, the memoirs of the greatest gambler to ever live. That shout out
to you. Shout out to Harry. You are not prepared for this book. I'm telling you, you are not prepared for the stories. Now, I believe they're true. You will read some of these stories and say that can't be real, but right. He talks about run-ins with Pablo Escobar. Yeah, that Pablo Escobar, how he won 6-7 figures playing ping pong. It's just an amazing book of stories. And again, if you don't read, that's cool. I don't a lot either. Audiobook this thing. Promise you it's worth it.
Definitely. I gotta check that out. That sounds awesome. Sidebar, do you listen to the Joe Rogan Experience?
I am very Joe Rogan guest dependent. So like the Cat Williams interview was phenomenal.
It was.
The Ric Flair was good. If he has Jocko Willink on, if he has Chael Sonnen on, one of the best ones I ever heard was Steve Sciarippa and Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos when they had their podcast going. Yes. Fantastic. So to answer your question, yes, depending on the guest.
Well, he just had on, I can't remember the name, I'm going to draw a blank out, but one of the world's most renowned gamblers, and it was one of the better episodes he's had in recent history. It's an awesome, awesome listen. So if you like the Amarillo Slim autobiography, you may like this episode too, so make sure you check that out. I don't need to give Joe Rogan Experience a shout out here. I mean, it's the biggest podcast.
It's the only number one podcast in the entire world. Like 14 million listeners. Ever.
Yeah. Crazy. You know, Joe Rogan, give us a shout out. Give Memphis and I, give our show shout outs on your platform. Let's do it that way.
You know what? Little spoiler alert / keep your ears open. When we get the player profiler merch going, you got to remind me to send Joe Rogan a player profiler t-shirt. Maybe he'd wear it on air.
Yes, I love that. All right, next question on the old show sheet. We're talking about trades. We're talking about being active. You mentioned, and now this is something you've brought up, not only this year, but you brought it up last year. I think it's that important. It's the idea of evaluating your team and being honest with what your path is, where you're going, you know, whether you're going to be going forward, you need to rebuild, to try to go for it. But if you've made that decision, whether it be rebuild or contender, how active are you? How active do you think our listeners should be? What's your advice? Like, what's your theories behind how active fantasy gamers should be with this being, you know, the dynasty in season, as we call it, or the NFL offseason?
I think you should be right now. I'm totally fine with you being as active as you want to be. I think there's more that can go wrong by being excessively involved in the market. If I'm out there making moves right now, I'm making very strategic moves. And that could be difficult depending on how many rosters you have. You mentioned, like, I'm a boring middle manager. And what does every middle manager have to do? Performance reviews. And I give all of my dynasty teams a performance review. What went right? What went wrong? What went different? What are we going to do different next year? What are our areas of improvements? What's our areas of concerns? And if you got 30 leagues, that's very hard. But if you got three, that's super easy. And then you start making moves that go along with your findings. I'm not looking to buy a bunch of rookie picks right now. I see a lot of great questions in the chat about rookie picks, and in between commercials and whatnot, I've been answering them. But we know that rookie picks are only going to go up. But I do have a piece of advice about rookie picks. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
They no longer have the number of 101, 103, 107, whatever it is. Depending on the format you play, you've seen enough ADP at this point that if you want Malik Nabers in a 1 QB league, you go get the 102 because you're not getting the 102. I mean, I guess theoretically you could get Marvin Harrison Jr., but these things are starting to have names. It's like if you have the 101 in Superflex, you don't have the 101. You have Caleb Williams.
That's right.
If you have the 104, you've probably got a quarterback. There's an offhand chance that you could get a Marvin Harrison Jr. there if QBs happen to go 1, 2, 3 in your league as well based on needs. But stop looking at these as like the pick number that's assigned to them and start looking at ADP. I've heard of player profilers really good. If you go look at their rookie ADP, the show The Blue Chips, you might want to check that out too. And they'll give you an idea of where these players will be going. And then you'll be able to say, hey, I really want JJ McCarthy. Well, that's right. If I get to the 108, I feel like I can confidently say I can get JJ McCarthy. So while your league mates, because they don't listen to the game plan, and that's bad for us, but great for you, you are out getting ahead of this and making moves on the players and not so much the picks anymore.
Now, and I think your league mates are probably thinking of it the same way. And it doesn't have to be one for one. I think everyone understands what the ranges are, like you mentioned. If you want Malik Nabers, you got to get a top three pick to have a shot. You want a Dunsey, you want Marv in one QB, you need a top three pick. There's just no other ways to talk it up. Last year, you wanted Bijan, you pretty much needed the 101. You needed the 101 if you wanted Bijan. So it's a good way, I think, to orchestrate deals when you're being honest. Like we talked about at the top of the show, we don't want to skin our sheep. We want to shear them. We want to, you know, have a good relationship going forward, be able to go back to them for other trades. And to do that, you got to sometimes be honest. Like, hey, listen, I know you like Caleb. I have the 101. Okay. There's no more dancing around this. You're going to have to come to me. And that's how you can build the trade out. So I like that advice. But I got to ask you this. Do you believe it's best to attack with offers at this time of year or kind of just pick your moment? So right after the combine, had some moments. Right after the draft, there'll be moments. Right before the draft, so, or are you willing to just go out there, John Wick, two guns, bop, 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 shoot out offers? What's your preference?
Well, it's funny you say John Wick because I was going to go with a different pop culture reference for the fans. I was thinking like Call of Duty. If you're a little bit younger, maybe Fortnite. You know, you can go out there blasting with a shotgun, but I think that's where you might get in trouble. You might be better off from a distance with a sniper's rifle. So on my Patreon the other day, I gave a list of 12 guys that I'm looking to buy. And I'll tell you some guys you'll be able to buy super cheap after the NFL draft. I'll give you an example. Rico Dowdle. Mike McCarthy is a, I don't say old, but he's one of the older head coaches, a little bit more stodgy. I don't see too many rookies coming in there and taking the starter's job from Rico Dowdle. Now, could it be a 50-50? But Rico Dowdle is going to be involved. So you can go get him now, or you could wait a little bit because we know Dallas is going to, you know, get a rookie. One of the people in the chat asked about Jonathan Brooks if he winds up in Dallas. Dallas seems to be one of the two or three premier landing spots left for a running back. That's great. But that doesn't mean Rico Dowdle isn't going to be valuable. So, you know, but because I know that, and we'll talk about, you know, predictive thinking here in a minute on the show sheet, you know, I'm looking at him. Another guy, Jalen Tolbert, ironically a Dallas Cowboy. Everybody just predicts, like, because we play fantasy football, that these GMs are too. And they don't. They have to build out the entire team. They got to build out the defense. They got to build out the offensive line. They just can't jam running back, wide receiver, quarterback, tight end the whole time. Mm-hmm. They've got real needs. So that's how I approach it. He's starting to gain steam. Josh Palmer is another one. One that will absolutely go to the moon. This is a Dynasty Warzone preview. When Arizona trades out of the 104 so that a team can go up and get their quarterback, they will no longer be able to draft Marvin Harrison Jr. Now they have a pick later in the 20s. Maybe that's a like an Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell, whatever. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Michael Wilson to the moon. Michael Wilson to the moon because he's no longer competing with Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes, he is. We always knew he was going to get competition. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. There's a big gap between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Adonai Mitchell, even though I like both.
Yeah, guys like Michael Wilson, we have to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that what we believe these rookies are capable of are not going to be actualized immediately, and coaches will see them day in and day out. And I think outside of the top three, I think that a guy like Michael Wilson, Josh Palmer's, I was once of the like that those are the guys that were going to kind of be erased because how deep this rookie class is. But all of a sudden, these situations have just opened up in a way that changed my way of thinking, because now all of a sudden, KJ Osborne's on the Patriots, and they may not get one of the big dog receivers, so he may have a role. Michael Wilson, who looked good, had over 700 receiving yards last year as a rookie. If he's not going up against one of the top three wide receivers, there's a path for him to be, I don't know if I want to say the wide receiver one, but at least go from 700 to 850 to 900 receiving yards to take a jump up forward, because no, the possibility of a 130 target receiver being added via the draft kind of comes off the table once you get past the top three. Even though it's deep, those guys are just built different.
I'll throw you out another one, and if I told you to guess over under 100-plus targets as a rookie is Josh Downs. Again, same thing as, like I mentioned earlier, Chris Ballard's not going to go out and spam the draft with running backs and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. He's looking defense. He's looking that. And Josh Downs, because Alec Pierce has not taken that big step forward.
That's right.
And we've seen two wide receivers flourish in a Shane Steichen offense with a quarterback like Anthony Richardson, i.e. Jalen Hurts with Smith and Brown, that this could be a really good spot, but we're not hearing a lot about Josh Downs right now. So to get back to the original topic we're on about making moves, I am, but I am looking in places that others aren't. I have found that going the opposite of what you see on Twitter or the general public and going in an opposite direction, like where they're not looking, maybe they don't disagree with you, but they're just not seeing it.
Right.
You can find some pockets of value. And whether it's a Rico Dowdle who I'll try to flip in season, like if I'm a contender and he's putting up points, I'm going to keep him. But if I'm not a contender and I happen to have him and he's, you know, the starter for Dallas for weeks five, can I get a second going into week six? That's the move I'm looking to make. Mm-hmm. These are like the smaller moves. I think this is a time where smaller moves are good. And I'll make the bigger moves in season, because then I know what I'm playing. Then I know what I'm playing for. I know the risk reward ratio is a little bit more known. Like right now, you think you're contending. Maybe we all do, but you think you're contending, and it turns out by October you're not. Now you're stuck with a roster. It's just a bad thing. So small now, small moves now, strategic moves now. Make the big moves in season.
I love that philosophy. I love that philosophy so much because we have more information at hand in the season. And there's nothing worse than putting a lot of your chips on the table in August, in July, only to have see it crumble before you even have a chance to win a football game because an injury happened. So save your big moves for the season. I completely agree with that, Memphis, 100%. I think that is the surefire way to incrementally get better and also put yourself in a position where you can catapult up in terms of a few things go your way, and now you're one of the stronger teams in your league as opposed to middling or rebuilding team. But we've talked a lot about, you know, the things you would do, the positives, kind of the things that you're going for. But now when it kind of turn over the coin here in the game pen, I like to ask questions to give other viewpoints, because it's not everything's good, not everything works out. But I want to ask you this, Memphis: is there a theory or a trend, we'll call it, right now in the dynasty gamer community, the world, the industry, whatever you want to call it, I like to call it the greater fantasy football universe. So is there a trend or a theory in the greater fantasy football universe that a lot of people are excited about, but you might not be? You are not subscribing to this.
Kinda. This is more of like something that I believe in life that I translate over to dynasty fantasy football. And it's so important to me that I brought it up last year. I'm bringing it back. It's cognitive dissonance. And that means when you hold on to a core belief that's so strong that even when presented with evidence that works against your belief, the new evidence cannot be accepted. It creates a feeling of extreme uncomfortableness, and it's just drives people batty. And if you're looking for a very recent example, look at the Justin Fields hive. Mm-hmm. In spite of the evidence, in spite of him going for a conditional 25-6th, that's a seventh. That's a 24-7th.
Yeah.
In spite of that evidence, in spite of only winning 10 games as a pro, his fan base have such a strong cognitive dissonance toward Justin Fields. They blame the coach. They blame the GM. They blame his teammates. They blame everybody but him. That is something that if you're doing it, and I was guilty of this. I'll be honest. I've said this before about Justin Fields. Sam Darnold was my Justin Fields. I'm just going to be very honest with the audience.
That you had to battle for Sam Darnold.
I would be lying if I didn't give you a little fist bump when I saw Sam sign for 1 year in Minnesota. I was like, okay, so I was because I'm doing it. I'm doing the thing. I'm doing it again. It's like, oh yeah, I could totally see this. Signs with Kevin O'Connell, good offensive minded head coach. Jordan Addison, JJ. Get Hockenson back at some point, add a running back. Oh, yeah, this could be his Baker Mayfield situation. So I'm guilty of it, too. Even please don't hear what I'm not saying. I have made 0.0 offers for Sam Darnold since he signed with Minnesota.
Okay.
But I still root. And I think you can have one guy like that you're unconditionally in love with. Mm-hmm. Just be very careful with it, because – If you're playing to play, that's fine. If you see the $50 for your dynasty league as an entertainment expense, like you and the fam are going to see a movie, we can barely do that, or go eat dinner, whatever, get some pizza. Yeah. If you see that $50 for the league as like entertainment, and you're just playing to play, and you want the guys you want, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing to win and playing to compete in the league, you cannot let what you believe now be so strong that you're never willing to pivot. You know, the Podfather kind of, you know, does this differently, where he talks about being Bayesian, mm-hmm. and a little bit different. But yeah, cognitive dissonance is a thing, and you can exploit it. And if you follow it, you can be exploited. So that's always going to be my number one. Anything more modern would be that you still have to have hero RB. It's fine. You can do it. If you want to get a McCaffrey, a Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, he's my 101. I know everybody's excited for Bijan, and they should be, but I no longer believe in that hero RB. I think zero RB's back, baby.
Zero RB it's back. And this is why it's been double proven. What is that called when you set a baseline and then you want to see it happen again? I think over the last 2 years, zero RB 2 years ago was everything. It was what all the winning strategies kind of were built around. And then last year, it was the trendy thing. It was the thing everyone preached. And I still think it won a lot of leagues. So once it gets that kind of confirmation, I think now we're sitting in an era of which the zero RB can thrive year in and year out. And it's a lot because of what we talked about at the top of the show. Thinking of these running backs as leased cars. 4 years in out, that's it.
Yep. Short time.
Short time, short money, and then just keep it churning out, keep it moving. Cognitive dissonance. I want to piggyback off that for 1 second. It's just using that. It just reminds me how important it is to try to get an understanding of your league mates. Some people play in a million dynasty leagues and it's impossible for them to get to know their league mates. But if you play in just a handful, you got to start picking up their patterns, listening to what they say in the chat, because you're right. Someone who is a Fields believer through and through, they might be willing to give up a little something for them now.
I'll tell you how I tweeted this out, and I'm not a big tweet engagement guy. I know a lot of people do enjoy that. And I'm not so much. But I tweeted this out when Justin Fields got traded to Pittsburgh. I was like, first of all, I know people want to say it was because of the money, but Russell Wilson did not look good last year. I know he had 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but you look at the sacks that he took and the way that he was actually playing the game. This is one where the film does not validate the stats. And he couldn't hold off Jarrett Stidham. I don't think, and especially with Pittsburgh only paying him $1.2 million, I don't think Russell Wilson going into year 13 is a huge barrier for Justin Fields. So okay. What I want to do is I want to let the Justin Fields current GM get that sense of, well, okay, Russ is the week one starter. Then in September, I'll be looking to acquire Justin Fields.
Strategically.
And then what I'm going to do, because there is such a strong passion for him in the dynasty space, I'm going to wait. And whether it's week 8, whether it's week 9, I have a very strong, and an injury could make it sooner, but I am literally, the minute Justin Fields is announced the starter, you know what's going to happen? we're back, baby. The Fields Hive is we're back, baby. Here we go. Here we go. And then there's your cash out. I'm going to buy cheap in September, sell high in November. He's a short sale because that's how strongly people believe. And I know that it exists, so I'll know I'll find a market.
And I think what I will say to any of those, any of the people that want to have a player that they hold on to, make it a cheap player. James Robinson was a guy that I will always have on my roster if he's in the NFL. Love James Robinson. Got his rookie card right here behind me. But he's free 99. I'm not investing a lot. I'm not worrying about how am I going to get shares of James Robinson. I'm just taking all the free samples that I can get. It's like a Costco. It's like BJ's. Go around, get your free samples. Sam Darnold might be a nice time to buy. If you're a Sam Darnold believer like yourself, Memphis, second they move up to four, like you said, take J.J. McCarthy. Everyone's going to be wanting out of the Sam Darnold business. That might be a time to get in cheaply enough that you can get your guy. So strategic, good timing, strategic moments. That's where we're preaching here.
Shamefully, I don't know that I can get more Sam Darnold. I think I have all the Sam Darnold. He will be my Waterloo. If you know, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got one last question before I let you go here today.
Sure, buddy.
First we got something in the chat. I got to answer this because Matthew Beff is asking, is eight leagues a million? I think it is. I think for me, when I got over five, it started to feel like a million. I had to prioritize leagues when I got over five. So if you're an eight, I would say prioritize them. You know better than I'll know which ones you prioritize. It's probably the ones with buddies, with friends, the ones that have been around a while. But I had to start doing it when I got over five. For you, what's a million? What number was it where you're like, damn, I'm in a lot of leagues?
I don't know. I mean, I think everything's relative. You know, it depends on what you have going on, you know. By the way, shout out to Matthew for having his picture as his icon. You don't see a lot of that. Way to put yourself out there, Matthew. I think it's awesome because a lot of people don't. I mean, some people are, that's fine, it's whatever, but I'm just giving you a kudos. I think it depends on your schedule. Eight could be very few. Mm. Eight could be absolutely pushing the limits of your job, your family, your other hobbies, your other things that you're into. I think for me, it was probably like when I got to like 15, to be honest. I think when I got to 15.
Oh, you're only 15. That's good.
Yeah. And then like I'm currently like at 18. Well, we have patron leagues and they're not expensive, but they are important because, you know, that's our most loyal subscribers. And you don't want to let them beat you. You can't let that happen.
And
it's such a fun way to interact with the patrons of our podcast. So, that's where a majority of those are. But yeah, there are industry leagues. There's ones I'm in with guys like, you know, Dynasty Rich from the Dynasty Nerds and Garrett Price and Tyler Gunther and Izzy Elkafast and a lot of old school Dynasty content creators. That's very important. I consider that a peer group. You know, so I know at some point because I joined Player Profiler late last year, like in late May, that I didn't get into a lot of startups. But I know at some point I'd love to get in a startup with yourself and Cody and Alan Zaslowski and I'm already in a bunch of leagues with Theo, but that those leagues would matter. But to go back to Matthew's question, it's a very good question. I would say this, and we'll just leave it at this. We'll answer his question that he didn't ask. You're welcome. is that before you say yes to a new startup, ask yourself, can I take care of this the way that I would want to take care of this? Because I know it's fun to draft and fun to do a startup, and I get that. That's kind of like, you know, the art of making a child. The problem is once it's there, now you have to take care of it.
But it's fun to practice, you know.
I'm good at that practicing, but the long story short is that if you already feel like you're overwhelmed with dynasty leagues because of the rest of your life, look back and say, hey, what would taking on one more do? And if the answer is like, I wouldn't be able to do this, then don't do it. It's really that simple. But, you know, everything's relative.
I think that's a great place to end it. Memphis, thank you so much for hanging out here on The Game Plan, talking Dynasty Theory, getting into the weeds. Let everybody know where they can find you, where they can get your content.
Well, you can obviously find me here on Player Profiler. We stream live on Sundays. We did do a one-off last week. I don't do a good job of promoting our show, but this past Monday, live on Player Profiler, the podcast is out there on the Player Profiler Podcast Network. I did a show, and I did it with Casey Myers. Casey Myers is the host of the FF Dynasty. It is one of the few Dynasty podcasts that have been around longer than the Dynasty Warzone. These guys have been around 8 or 9 years. Love his content. He's a good guy. Recently had him on. We'll be back in our normal 9 p.m. Sunday night time slot this coming Sunday, tomorrow night, with Nino Brown. If you don't know Nino, awesome. he is a very talented content creator, and he is really sharp with the college and the Devi, and like that's his niche, right? That niche of talent. So he's going to be breaking down his rookie rankings with Jerry and I. Awesome. My only ask is that we also have a YouTube channel and a podcast channel. Please subscribe to both. We have some really talented content creators on our channel, the Dynasty Warzone, wherever you're listening to Player Profiler. Find the Dynasty Warzone. Give us a sub, audio or YouTube. You will get a lot of interesting takes. We have a guy named Dallas who does rookies. We have guys, Jesse, Mike, Austin, Chad, all these guys. They do a show called the Dynasty War Games. On top of what extra content I do, goes there. I do one show a week on Player Profiler, audio and video, but that's where you can find the rest of us.
Absolutely. Check out everything that Memphis does. And I do agree with my man Chuck here. We got to do this more often. This is always.
We do. Well, we're going to do it live. Well, this is why you subscribe. This is why you. So literally, I don't know. I'm not writing the schedule. You don't want me to write the schedule, but we're going to be in Detroit.
In Detroit.
Yeah. We're bringing the bad boys back to Detroit. You're probably a little too young for that reference. But we're going to be there like draft night. It could be me and you. It could be me, you, and Cody. It could be you, me, you, and Larky, the Podfather. Yes. This is why you subscribe to Player Profiler, because we will do this more often. I'm going to get you off this live stream so I can get you booked for the Dynasty Warzone.
Love it. I mean, we'll make that happen. But yeah, you're going to want to make sure you're subscribed to the Player Profiler YouTube channel for the Dynasty Warzone, the game plan, trade gods. And then you're going to want to be a part of those draft nights. We are setting the industry standard when it comes to fantasy outfits and fantasy platforms covering the NFL draft. We're setting new standards every single year. And this year, it's going to be the best yet. So you're going to want to make sure that you're subscribed. Put that notification on for Player Profiler's YouTube channel. Make sure you like this video. Leave a comment. Let us know what you like. Let us know some of your Dynasty theories, get the conversation going and keep it rolling. But today was a great episode. Definitely look forward to it. Everybody, come back next week and I'll see you next time. Peace.
Hey, I want to thank you for being part of this broadcast. If you have any thoughts on it, leave a comment. If you enjoyed it, make sure you leave a like. And if you want to see more shows on the Player Profiler channel, subscribe to it. That's how we know you want more.